Let us pray. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. In the midst of the multitude of words in our daily lives, speak your eternal word to us, that we may respond to your gracious promises with faithfulness, with service, and with love. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning the theme, which is very easy, that I selected for our reflection is God is on the throne. God is on the throne. The text before us this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke is an apocalyptic literature. That is, that genre of revelatory literature with a narrative framework in which a revelation is mediated by a supernatural being or by God to human recipients. And usually, apocalyptic literature usually discloses a transcendent reality, things that will happen or that are happening leading up to other things. And especially within the Christian faith, it speaks of the end of time. So what Luke does in chapter 21 is he details Jesus' vision of the end of time and significantly suggests the destruction of the world and his second coming. The message of the end time, or the message of God's judgment as it unfolds within the text, comes across to most of us as alien. It comes across as a strange message and sometimes even puts us off. To be sure, many of us worry about the things of life. We worry about climate change and how it is affecting the world and our health situation. We worry about the nuclear environment and the confusing political climate in Great Britain, the United States of America, and other great nations of the world. But we hardly express day-to-day concern about the end of the world, and even less about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke sets out to remind us of the end of history by detailing the signs that would precede them, and then shows that the end of time will coincide with the destruction of the world and his second coming. So he warns us against deceptive tendencies in the world and the persecution that we Christian people must face from a hostile world, but then encourages us to hope, because despite all the tragedies of life, God is still on the throne. Now, the context of our passage this morning is one in which Jesus and his disciples have just been at the temple in Jerusalem, watching the widow make her offering. Some of the disciples comment on the temple's beauty, especially its noble stones and the ornaments that made it such a unique edifice. The temple was decorated by gifts from many of the surrounding nations and was a building that had received notice around the Roman world. A kind of beauty, according to the disciples, that was very, very uncommon. But Jesus notes immediately that the building will not be permanent, thereby predicting the fall of Jerusalem. As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. And Jesus' remark was devastating because the temple was at the heart and soul of Israel's worship. How could God allow the secret locale of worship to be reduced to rubble after so much effort had gone into restoring it? And sometimes we also may be asking, how can God possibly allow our world to be destroyed after all the hard work that has gone into building it. We ask in our day. And so the disciples ask, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to happen? According to Jesus, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The language is completely pessimistic and leaves very little or no room for hope. The signs of the end of time. But I hope, dear friends, you would agree with me that it is a picture of the world's situation. Tensions between Russia and the rest of the Western world continue to increase, partly because of the constant Russian aggression on its neighbors or other provocations through its alliances in the wars going on in the Middle East. Today, the Brexit vote is causing a rift between the United Kingdom of Great Britain and other European countries. Nations will rise up against nations, Jesus predicted. And then there have been a number of natural disasters here and there. I counted about 20 of them have happened throughout the world in 2018. For example, November of this year, the California fires led to 91 deaths. The Hurricane Michael in Florida in October claimed 6 lives. The Indonesia earthquake and tsunami of September resulted from shifting tectonic plates that triggered the 7.5 magnitude earthquake, and the earthquake set off the tsunami. Roughly 2.4 million people were impacted by the pair of natural disasters, and 844 people lost their lives. Then there was the Hurricane Florence at the U.S. East Coast. Within 24 hours of landfall, the massive hurricane flooded homes and streets in North Carolina, prompting evacuation. More than 42 people died. The super typhoon, Mangkhut of Guam. Marshall Islands in the Philippines in September, where more than 69 people died. The flood in July in Japan, and so on. Many of them, at least 20 in 2018. Jesus predicted earthquakes and natural disasters. And then he spoke of anguish and perplexity that will be experienced by nations of the world. And this again is not far from reality in our world. In Cameroon, people from the two Anglophone regions have historically been treated as a dispossessed minority. When they started resisting the progressive assimilation of the English values into the French, they have been arrested, killed, their houses burnt down, and many forced to live in the bushes with no food or basic necessities. They live in anguish and perplexity. When you see all these things happening, Jesus said, know that the kingdom of God is near. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how you feel about the world situation. I don't even know how you feel about yourself. The tragedies of the world are not just nationwide tragedies, but we have our own individual problems that beset us. Maybe there are bad reports from medical doctors about our health. Irresponsible family members. And many other things that are worrying in our lives. And the experience of tragedy may not just be in our own lives. There may be things that are happening elsewhere. What do you feel, or how do you feel about them? But someone says to me, oh, you've come to church this morning hoping to hear the good news of the birth of Christ on this first Sunday in Advent. And you are saying to me, oh, to Jesus, but Jesus, we are looking just for a little joy, a little peace, a little fun, a little holiday cheer. We thought we were preparing for the first coming of Christ and not the last. And today's lesson is not even about Advent or Christmas. It is about an Advent, an expectation of the second coming of Christ and how we must prepare for it. Jesus Christ encouraged his disciples that the presence of wars and rumors of wars should not startle them. Great calamities like those that engulfed Jerusalem in AD 66 to 70 should not take them by surprise. Such events must happen. The tragedies of life must come. Nations will rise against nations and natural calamities will be widespread. Earthquakes, famines, pestilences, along with other fearful events and great heavenly signs will come. But be watchful, because the time of my coming is drawing close. So despite the tragedies of life, God is still on the throne. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. What do we learn from our text this morning? I picked out just about two lessons for us to take home. Firstly, that God is in control. This is an important message in an era with so much human chaos. Sometimes we get so impatient with God's control and timing. Why doesn't God do something about my particular situation or circumstance? We cry. Or like the psalmist, we complain that God does not hear the cries of his people and that evil seems to be victorious. Jesus assures us that God is in control of the direction of history. We must be patient and use our time in presenting the gospel of God's grace to others. Secondly, the text sets a perspective for current events and reminds us that the present and past are not all there is to life. But neither should we become so preoccupied with the future that we lose sight of our calling in the present. Jesus taught about the end, but he did not measure it. He longed to lead people into a healthy relationship to God in the here and now. We must constantly watch, but only in a way that serves God honorably, so that Jesus' return is a reason to rejoice without shrinking back. Dear friends, what we see in our world today might lead us to believe that what Jesus predicted in our text is really happening, that the world is ending now. But the gospel of Jesus calls us to hope in a God who sits on the throne and cares for us. We are a people yearning to keep hope alive, to see beyond what we see, to perceive something higher and deeper and richer than what we see today. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:24 to 25, for in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We must keep watch, stand firm, and trust God's timing with the reassurance that one day our deliverance will surely come. Events may be painful, for even our families may oppose us, and hostility can be very unacceptable. But Christ's followers need to have resolve to endure, a resolve that grows in the face of the assurance that God will indeed do what he has promised. He will vindicate his children. And in the words of the Christian hymnologists, crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. we have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us this morning. And thank you for reminding us that this world is not really our home. And thank you, O God, for reminding us about your second coming. We pray, O merciful Father, that you continue to bless us and to keep us safe from the tragedies of this world, so that when the time comes, we will walk with you in the heavenlies and glorify you forever and forever. Amen.